Performance reviews. Those very words can make us break out in a cold sweat. We get them very early in our lives. The day we are born, we are evaluated and we receive an APGAR score. In preschool, we have the parent-teacher conferences to see how our children are progressing. Right? Socially, do we play well with others? And sometimes we need to continue asking that question as we get older. Physically, how are our motor skills, the small ones and the big ones? Intellectually, are we learning? And are we processing that information that we are receiving? And then we graduate to report cards, and they track some of the same issues. We're subjected to evaluation standards called quizzes and tests. I once had a teacher who said, well, you know, a test is simply a big quiz and a quiz is a small test. It didn't help. Then we have exams and projects and term papers, and then we get the first job, and there's a performance review annually. We're measured versus the goals or against the goals that we set for ourselves, that our employers set for us. We're compared with others. And essentially, it comes down to three categories: meets expectations, exceeds expectations, fails to meet expectations, right? I never liked parent-teacher conferences. I never liked report cards. But what I like are annual reviews, because I want to be the best that I can be at what I do. Now, let me give you a disclaimer. I receive a performance review as a pastor weekly. It may happen around a lunch table. It may happen around a dinner table. It may happen on your way home in the car. And even though I'm not there, I know it. My ears are burning. And truth be told, I like the annual review better. We like to evaluate things, don't we? All right? And I find it interesting that there continues to be a growing trend to track our physical performance and our health. We use it with wearable technology. It's called the Fitbit. And we track our fitness. I received mine 2 years ago for Christmas from one of my daughters, and it has become a part of my life. It tracks my exercise, my breathing, my heart rate, my sleeping. It tracks whether or not I've done, I don't know, what's it called, fat-burning exercise. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Well, what would it be like to have a Fitbit for our spiritual lives? What would it measure? How would we come out? Would we meet expectations, exceed expectations, or fall short of expectations? Today we're going to continue in this sermon series, First Things First. If you remember, a few weeks ago we took a look at what it means for us to run the race of faith, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. Last week we spoke about the orientation of our hearts in terms of our love for God and our love for others. And this week I'd like us to focus on the orientation of our resources, our time, our talents, our treasure. Are we dedicating those resources to the greater purposes of God? Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, writes about how the followers of Jesus in Macedonia are exceeding expectations in their fiscal lives. I did say fiscal. Because our fiscal lives and our spiritual lives are very closely related. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll begin at verse 1. Listen to God's word. "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations." There's the performance review. "They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. Since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled for you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together, that they might be acceptable in your sight. For you are the very rock and redeemer of our lives. Indeed, all that we have is a gift from you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to hear your word to us. And not only hear it, but be willing to walk in obedience with you for your greater glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Expectations vary with situations. As Paul was writing, the expectations were high. He was concerned about the followers of Jesus in Jerusalem, and he was taking up a collection for them because they had a need. You know, originally in Jerusalem, they had a common purse. They had sold all their possessions, and they took all those resources and used them for the good of the community. That's kind of radical thought in and of itself. They sold and pulled their resources. They faced food shortages, double taxation. Itinerant preachers were supported by them, as well as missionaries. They showed hospitality to other followers of Jesus who were making pilgrimages to Jerusalem. And they had a growing population, as time went on, of widows and elderly. And their resources started to dry up. There was a general need. And Paul was saying to them that this collection would be a visible expression of the interdependence of believers with one another. We do the same in supporting ministries here in our community and around the world. We give financial gifts not simply to be nice, although it is nice. We give gifts to support and support as a tangible expression of the gospel. That's simply what it means for us to be partners with one another in the cause of Christ. Now, the situation in the Macedonian churches was not good. Macedonia itself was a relatively prosperous area. They had wonderful resources. The land was good for farming. They had a precious metals industry and a timber industry that were, they were going great guns. They were doing really well. And yet the followers of Jesus were encountering tough times. Because of their faith, they were harassed. Because of their faith, their businesses were boycotted. And they were left, in what we learn in verse 2, in extreme poverty. It could be translated rock bottom. Things were not good for the Macedonians. And yet, they pleaded, they begged to give. When was the last time you heard that? When was the last time somebody came to you and said, "I got my checkbook, just tell me what to write on there. I'm ready to text to give. Give me the address." I'm ready to give online. Tell me where to give. We normally don't hear that. But the Macedonians' hearts were grasped by the grace of God. In contrast, how often do we give out of obligation or guilt? I know I do. Let's be honest. There are times when we give just because we feel like it's the right, we just got to do it. All right? The baskets go past on Sunday morning. Sometimes there's obligation. Sometimes there's guilt. Sometimes we wonder if someone else is watching to see whether we put something in or not. Right? We wonder what's acceptable. What's the dues? You know, is it used to be the buck a week club. But like the dime, that's not going to last. Okay? Well, is it 20 a week? Is it 50 a week? Is it 100 a week? Is it 1,000 a week? God doesn't tell us. We're told about the tithe and we're told about offerings. The Macedonians were giving an offering. So when it comes to giving, what would your fiscal and spiritual Fitbit say? Meets expectations? Exceeds expectations? Falls short of expectations? Give God's grace a chance to grasp your heart. I always like the exceeding expectations part of a performance review. And it's interesting to see what the Macedonians did. They were in extreme poverty. They gave with rich generosity, and they weren't pressured to give. They gave freely. Okay, do the math with me. They had nothing. They didn't give according to those means. They gave beyond their means. Now, I was not a math major in college. In fact, I stayed away from math courses. I was a sociology major. I wanted to kind of share the experience, right? My daughters are math teachers. But you don't have to be a math expert to figure this out. There is not any kind of indication toward recklessness on the Macedonians' part. They gave with an overflowing wealth of generosity. Now, if you're like me, you want to say, well, why? Why would you do that? I mean, they didn't simply attend a fundraiser or a cocktail party and put the appropriate amount in an envelope and give it to the host at the end of the meal. It was much more than this. The Macedonians did two things. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. They were committed to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They knew what God had done for them in and through Jesus Christ. But their knowledge was not mere intellectual assent. They not only knew of God's grace, they experienced God's grace in their lives. And God's grace made a difference in the way that they lived their lives every day. It made a difference in the way they spent their time, in the way that they used their talents, in the way that they used their treasure and their resources. There was no area of their lives that was untouched by the reality of God's grace. First, they gave themselves to God. Second, they didn't just talk about stewardship. They lived it. And as they lived it, they experienced the almost impossible joy of seeing a miracle. Like being able to give not according to their means, but beyond their means. They knew that all that they had and all that they were was a gift from God. And they dedicated themselves to live for God and God's people, and the result was this overflow of generosity. It's all about grace, isn't it? It's all about grace. It's about God's grace at work in the hearts and the minds and the lives of the Macedonians that empowered them to do what they did. It's about God's grace that they pleaded to share in the service of ministry with the people in Jerusalem. And it's about God's grace, not their own, that their gifts were given and their expectations exceeded. It's all about God's grace that's at work in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives that empowers us to do what we do. I think it would be by God's grace that people in this congregation would plead to say, how much can I give? How can I give? Where do I give? To the ministry of God's work and God's people in this world. I think it would be by God's grace that at the end of December or the beginning of January, that the elders of this congregation would meet together as a session and sit there and say, where did this come from? You gotta be kidding me. We never expected this. This is beyond our wildest dreams. And my friends, I've seen it happen. I've seen God do some incredible work because people first gave themselves to God and God's will and God's work in the world. Frankly, I'd love to be at a meeting and watch Session respond to something like that. I'd just be sitting there and smiling and saying, God, what are you doing? What's next? Give God the chance to grab, to grasp your heart. Then Paul turns his attention specifically to the Corinthians. The challenge is to excel. To excel in giving. Now, Corinth was a community that excelled in a number of different ways. They excelled in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love. Well, why would they not excel in giving? I mean, it would only make sense. In some ways, we at Windham Presbyterian Church are much like the Corinthians. This is a community that excels. Our students excel in sports and in academics. We have members who excel in business and the professions, in politics and the trade, in technology and other initiatives. We as a church excel. We have people who excel in giving of their talents, in giving of their time, and of giving in their treasure. We excel in caring. We excel in the love of supporting missions, not only near us, but around the world. What would it look like for us to excel in this grace of giving? You received a letter in the mail, hopefully this week, that came from the chair of stewardship and finance and myself, just talking about a gift for this next year. What might be your plans for 2019? As we enter into the final days of 2018, as we plan for 2019, what are our expectations for ourselves? What are our expectations for one another? How will we deal with our expectations? Will we meet, exceed, or fall short? Now let me be clear here. This is not about my expectations. My expectations are that you be faithful to God in every way possible. Because we're called to give ourselves first to God, and then the work and the will of God in the world. Give God's grace a chance to grasp your heart. So think with me for a moment. If there was wearable technology, a Fitbit, for Windham Presbyterian Church, and we all wore one of those, what would it say about our spiritual fitness and our fiscal fitness as individuals and as a congregation? And my friends, this is not about thinking about someone else and saying, well, they need to do this, they need to do that. No, this is about what is God calling me as an individual to do. What are your expectations? Will you exceed expectations? Would you exceed in the grace of giving? What would it look like for Windham Presbyterian Church to overflow with generosity? I invite you this week, as you celebrate Thanksgiving, to consider in prayer what it is that God has done in your life, how you've experienced God's grace, and then respond to God. Give God's grace a chance to grasp your heart. May we be people together who allow God to grasp our hearts, our lives, our time, our talents, our resources, not for our sake, but for the greater purposes of the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Lord, it's never easy to think about or talk about our resources and our giving. And yet, Lord, it's so closely related to our spiritual health. And so, Lord, we ask that you would do your work in us and through us as individuals and as a congregation, that we might place ourselves, our resources, our lives, our hearts, our minds, all that we have and all that we are, at your service because of the wealth of your grace which you have shown in our lives. We ask these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.